I think we'll begin now and start in. And so happy to have our Rabbi Bill Clausen here to speak today. Bill and Mark are our rabbis here with myself that's dealing with the congregation. This is a very interesting subject. The subject's what specifically on?
Well, today I want to talk about freedom. And that's going to entail, I'm going to be talking about the decline of Christianity.
Good.
About the way people are going and what's happening to our country as a result of people's poor decisions.
So. Well, let's open in prayer and we'll ask the blessing. And Mark, can I ask you to open, dear brother?
Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all safely here today. For those of us who couldn't make it, we ask your blessing on them while they're away. We ask your blessing on Rabbi Bill today as he gives his first presentation to the group. We know that he's been in your word for a long time, and we look forward to his teaching today that with the guidance of your Holy Spirit, we know will be edification for all. We ask that we have Yeshua's continued blessing on us. We thank you for being washed in his blood. We've been freed from sin, and as long as we continue to repent, we'll make it with you to rule and reign in your kingdom. We know that's coming very soon. And we ask all this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
When Craig said he was going to be out of town this week, I said, well, sure, I'll bring something. I don't know exactly what. I hadn't decided at that point, but Mark and I had been thinking about different subjects. And there is so much. And I just thank Craig, and I thank the Holy Spirit for bringing us, guiding us here to this group, and being enlightened, because like Craig said, I've been in the Word for a long, many years, but I have been misled, and I have been, the pastors of most of the denominational churches just don't talk about the truth. They just hit the highlights. They're concerned about naturally about a person's salvation, and that's critical. There's no doubt about that, I want to make sure that everybody understands that I'm not being critical of anybody in particular, but even the seminaries that supposedly are supposed to teach the pastors, the beginning pastors, about the Bible, they fail in so many instances. And so what we have a bunch of illiterate Christians. We've got the people that go to the big churches, Episcopal, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, even the Pentecostal churches are not getting what Yeshua really wants them to hear. Now, when we speak of Yahweh in our terms, he is Father God. And then we speak about his precious son, Yeshua, is the Hebrew name for Jesus. So that we'll be using those proper names. Actually, when you speak about Christ, it's just a title. And so we like to use the proper names when we're talking about our precious Lord and Savior. But this morning, I'm going to get right into a subject that I think is very important. And we're talking about freedoms. And when you talk about freedom, that is a big, that's not a big word, but it certainly encompasses a whole lot of things. And just for instance, tell me anybody, anybody here who probably have a different interpretation of freedom. So what are some of the things when you think, when you guys think of the word freedom, what's the first thing that everybody would, that you all think about?
Freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion. That's a fantastic, that's a primary one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's one, of course, that prompted the English to come over here. You know, they were subjected to certain regulations and taxes and all those kinds of things over there in England. And so when they came to the United States, they were able to obtain this freedom. What about some other freedoms?
Freedom to go anywhere.
That's right. Freedom of movement.
Move around.
Gather. Yes.
Meet together.
Exactly.
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech. A very important one. When we talk about freedoms, what do we think about as far as a guarantee?
Freedom of evil.
And there's the one I want to talk about in just a minute. Hold that one right there in your mind. Freedom from evil? Mm-hmm. Yes. From sin. When I talk about freedom, I'm thinking of the freedom that the Bible offers us through Jesus, through Yeshua. But I'm also thinking about the guarantees in the form of a constitution. I'm thinking of the guarantees in the form of Bill of Rights. What other documents can anybody think about that would allow someone some sort of freedom? Can you think of anything else?
Well, in John 8:31-32, Christ says the truth, which he had identified in John 17:17 as the Word of God, the truth is the only thing that sets us free.
The truth. And we think of the truth. Who is the truth? Yeshua.
Yeshua, yes.
Yeshua is the truth. And if we invite him, and we, many times there's a little bit of controversy about man working towards his salvation and working towards God, as opposed to God reaching out and calling you all. So there's a little bit, but let that be aside, because like Craig says, and like Dusty mentioned, the freedom from sin. That's a really important one. And freedom, what does it do? It negates a control over you. In other words, the government wants to control you. Who else wants to control you? Satan.
Yes.
Satan wants to control you. And here's the point that Dusty brought up, and that Rabbi Craig said, the truth will set you free. You're not under control. And when you are in some sort... Mark, did you have something to add on?
Man will sometimes take that liberty, too. There were a lot of people who were upset when President Ford pardoned ex-President Nixon. And whether or not he was guilty of anything, he was set free by that pardon. So we take that same liberty that Yeshua does for us on a much grander scale.
Exactly. Pardon. A pardon, that's right. But freedoms will take away the control that possibly is interfering with your life, and especially with your life seeking Yeshua and seeking the truth. It also takes away the interference. There may be an interference on a freedom, and it also negates regulation. So many regulations. Look, you think about Congress, all the bills that they legislate, the regulation that we're under. It's almost oppressive, and if you get to thinking about it too long, you know, you get a little distressed.
Get a headache.
Yeah, you get a headache. So the one that I want to concentrate, though, on is that freedom from sin. Somebody look up Romans 6. Romans 6:22. Who would have that handy? Let somebody else do it. for you, Mark.
Romans what, 6?
Yeah, 6:22. Who's got it?
I got it here.
Read it, Craig, please.
But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God, of Yahweh. Now do you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life.
There you go. There it is, right there. And when we talk about eternal life, we're talking about the kingdom, the coming kingdom. And so that's a subject that we like to talk about. I think that the coming kingdom, when we're looking at the new kingdom, the theocracy that's going to come about eventually, that's the main thrust that Yeshua wants to talk about and wants you to know about. So just keep that in mind. I've got something here that I want to just show you. It's written, I got it from a Christian economist. And of course we're all concerned about our economy, because the economy sort of drives things, doesn't it? But when we're talking about Christian economy, it's different from the political and the economic conditions that are sort of regulated by the government. And what I mean by that is, when we think about wealth, what do we think about first? Anybody, what's the first thing you think about when you think about personal wealth?
Tremendous assets.
Assets. Assets.
Yeah. Money.
Money, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually personally would say
what did you say?
Bling.
That you have around you.
Yes.
That's stuff that you don't really need, that's just
that's
flashy.
Right. That's right. We want to pursue that a little later about the freedom from having excess material things and gain. That's something that Yeshua says is unnecessary. What does he say? What does he say about wealth? And a lot of different, he said a lot of different things. But what's the first thing that comes to your mind about what you should do about accumulating wealth?
Well, you know.
Would you repeat that a little louder? Lana's got the point that I want to bring up.
Store up your treasures in heaven, where moth and That's rust right. will not corrupt it.
That's right.
Jesus said it's going to be very difficult for a wealthy person
right.
to enter the kingdom, because they do put their confidence.
That's
in
right.
account.
Because why?
That's
I think
so true.
You know, they rely on that wealth and thinking that that's going to buy them whatever they need. And we know, and everybody knows in this room, that money does not buy happiness, and it doesn't buy health. It helps to keep yourself, when you are able to go to the dentist and the doctor, of course, to keep your health in fairly good shape. But that's the thing. And the other point there that I want to just talk briefly about as far as wealth is sharing. Whatever you have, if you have more than you need, more than what you figure is necessary to run your life, you should be thinking about sharing and giving. And of course, Joel Osteen and John Hagee and Richard Rogers and all the rest of them will say, make sure you make out the check to me. You know, make sure, yeah. If you got anything extra, just give it to me. I'll take care of it.
They call it planting seed.
Planting seed, yeah.
Well, Lana and I have been to about every church known to man. except for Buddhists, uh-oh, except for the Eastern and the Asian kind of religions. We knew that that was way out of the ballpark. It was nothing that Yeshua wanted any part of and wanted us associated with. So we haven't done that. But we were in the Pentecostal movement for a while. And we got wrapped up into some of those things with some of the ministers and the priests and the guys, the evangelists that were constantly seeking. Well, they said they were going to do all these fantastic things, and but the end result was the fact that they were wearing diamond rings and flying jets and all these kinds of things, and they might have. When you hear about church movement, about people being saved, basically speaking, the percentages are very small. Craig, you told us one time that there's maybe about 5% of the folks that go forward on an altar call are really going to be returning and doing anything for Yeshua on a regular basis. What did Billy Graham said something?
Billy Graham said of all the actually millions that had come up over all his years of ministry to the altar, and you've all seen pictures of the Great Crusade,
thousands,
just thousands, millions over years after years have come up. When asked the question, how many really were Christians, he says, I would be hard-pressed to say 5%. We know that from other statistics and also taken through polls, and these are very reliable polls on the field of religion, that up into the 90% never show up again. Mm-hmm. It's too many times emotional trips with these people. You know, they're hyped up for the moment. You see this a lot in charismatic religions. They're hyped up to almost to the point of exploding emotionally. But the base is there of knowledge. It's like a house built on sand. The first storm comes along and the house is knocked down and they perish. Rather than building on the solid foundations of the Word of God upon Christ and on Yahweh the Almighty, it just isn't done. And that's the trouble with altar calls is you have a lot of people that emotionally, you know, they want something better, they feel something, but once they make this call, then they feel it's all over and their job's done.
Yeah.
See?
Once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. You know, and that's false. We know that. The other thing, the main thing that I want to get into right now is the danger that we face as Christians in the loss of some of the freedoms that we were just talking about. We know that the Constitution has been violated, and it is constantly violated. The Bill of Rights is not upheld in many places. You can watch the evening news and see that really the perpetrator of some kind of a crime usually has more rights than the victim.
Well,
so,
true.
I mean, this is so sickening.
Yeah.
But anyways, let me get into this. Y'all might recognize Alex de Tocqueville. Is it Tocqueville?
Alex,
it's a French
Tocqueville.
Name. Tocqueville. He was an 1850s French statesman philosopher guy. And he had some good things to say. And this is one of the quotes that I want to get us into this. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Now, this is what's happening, in my estimation. America used to be good. They were good and great because it was Christian. And our Constitution, courts, our government, morality, our sense of morality, and our culture were based on what? They were based on a reverence for God and Christian biblical programs. Now, about 20 years ago, there was a Swiss theologian by the name of Francis Schaeffer. Len and I know about it. We read his stuff, and his wife, Edith, was also a very strong Christian lady who worked with... did she work with people that were... had cancer, or what was her name? Do you remember offhand? But anyways, they were Switzerland, and they've done such great works. He wrote a book, How Then Shall We Live? And he said, America has entered what he called a post-Christian era, wherein all that most Americans would be concerned with was personal peace, pleasure, affluence, that type of thing. A very selfish kind of thing. So let's pause and consider America today. Its incredible preoccupation with money, entertainment, sex, the good life, and off-the-charts consumption from the top down. Let's talk about the government, the money that they spend. It is disconnected from God and traditional morality and values. It appears to Mr. Schaeffer that America as a whole has indeed entered a post-Christian era. So we're there.
So true.
And we're over the edge now. He wrote this book 20 years ago. Today, Christian prayers in public are outlawed. Bible reading, prayer, meditation of God or Jesus Christ in schools is forbidden and is often punished by expulsion. Public displays of Ten Commandments, of Bible verses, crosses, Christian churches, or in the slogan, In God We Trust, are being rapidly removed. And that's in part due to the legal actions by the ACLU. Don't give them any money, boys, girls. ACLU. Yes. That outfit is crooked. They're following... let's put it this way. There's two masters in this world. There's Yeshua or there's Satan. We've got to make up our mind who we're going to follow, who we're going to give our commitment and our loyalty and whatever it is, our life to. Because we know, and the Bible clearly states it, that this world is under the control. This world here on earth is under the control of Satan. That's why I'm so excited when I think about the new kingdom. Eternal life, eventually. Let's think about the media and entertainment on, for instance, on that we watch every day on TV. It continually ridicules and denigrates anything Christian or biblical. At the same time, now listen to this, the Islamic religion is officially honored, and now, especially under President Obama, has freedoms and privileges that Christians in America no longer enjoy. Jesus said in Matthew 24, somebody grab Matthew 24, but Mark, would you give Matthew 24, that there would come a time of great falling away, a turning away from the faith in the future, a time of great upheaval all over the world before Yeshua's return. If you look closely around Europe, the UK and America, that falling away seems to be in high gear. in this particular day. The writer that I'm quoting here, with others, contends that the incredible financial, economic, political, cultural, and moral decline in America is a result directly from spiritual decline.
Well, that's so true.
Yes. Of a falling away or forgetting God by the great majority of Americans over the past few decades. Matthew 24, did you come across something in there that there's several verses that talk about
the entire chapter is about the time leading up to the end times.
Exactly.
That while the trumpets are blaring and the vials are being opened and the bowls are being poured out, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the way through verse 22, you've got the conditions, and then it actually specifically goes into the time of the Antichrist. In 2 Thessalonians,
yes,
chapter 2, it talks about the great apostasy.
That's right.
And let's see if I can call that one up real quick, because
yeah,
that might actually be a more direct.
Look it up. Today there is a growing evidence that this decline is a reality, and it's actually accelerating.
Bill, before he gets that,
yeah,
can I read a scripture in 2
Yes,
Timothy?
Go ahead, Craig.
This is almost like reading your newspaper today.
Yeah.
You know, like if you picked up the USA Today, it's almost like, you should know this, Timothy. This is in 2 Timothy 3.
Mm-hmm.
In the last days, it'll be very hard and difficult to be a Christian. Notice there. For people will love only themselves and their money. Can you imagine the scripture being given 2,000 years ago? They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at the thought of God. Disobedient to their parents, the youth, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander, notice there, others, and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. It's like the prophet Isaiah said, which is now.
Mm-hmm.
The good is called bad, and the bad is called
backwards.
Good. And light is called, you know, darkness, and darkness light. They will betray their friends, be reckless in their lifestyles, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Now, here's the key point here, as Bill's talking about. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. These are the words of the Apostle Paul.
Matthew 24, verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will lead many astray. You'll hear wars of rumors and wars. See that you aren't troubled, for all this must happen, but the end is not yet. And then jumping to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That falling away is what's happening right now, where even the churches themselves are not teaching the truth.
That's right.
The apostasy is the Greek word, apostasia.
You know, that's not to say that there's not a lot of good Christians in these churches that we mentioned and we talk about as far as your primary, your big denominational churches. But I got in trouble one time. I was going to a different church, denominational church, and we were having a Bible study and talking about denominations, and I suggested that denominations were a tool of the devil. And, of course, I was just about excommunicated out of that particular place. Because, I mean, these people are so brainwashed in their particular traditions and in their particular liturgy and all of the ritual that they have that they go through over and over and over and over again every week. And when I think, what religion is, of course, I when I think about the Catholic situation, I think that is probably the worst offender in that particular regard. But anyways, like I said, there are a lot of well-meaning, wonderful Christian people in some of these churches. But they have not been taught the correct thing. Their seminaries will go along and teach the same surface kind of Christianity, the same kind of stuff that really doesn't get into the truth.
Well, they take all these traditions of man from and the pagan traditions, just don't ever weed them out. They just keep keeping them in there, tradition after tradition. And we don't know, who haven't really studied like under Craig, didn't know any better until we got to studying and understanding what it meant by the evils of the traditions of man, that Yahweh has no love for.
He's very grieved, as a matter of fact. That's the thing that got us excited about Craig's teaching and the fact that we should be using the sacred names, Yeshua and Yahweh, number one, and that we should be not so much concerned as most churches are today for growing a big number of people in your church. In other words, numbers really is not the magic thing. Most of your big churches, this is what you call an early Christian gathering, a home church. And this is the way it was in early days, in Jesus' time. And that's the way that we feel that is necessary to do today.
Well, he didn't preach on churches. He just goes to house and gathered
That's
gatherings.
Right.
Oh.
That's
wherever
right.
he was, he preached.
That's right. You don't need a temple. Mm-hmm. Hey, I've been around the world, and let me tell you, I've seen some fantastic church edifices, some beautiful buildings, some fantastic places.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they got them everywhere. And everybody thinks, oh, I've got to get into that church to feel the presence of God. No. I can tell you for sure, and most of you understand that that's not true. You know, most of these big churches nowadays have just a fantastic music program, and I love music. Hey, I'm a former musician, Lana the same way, and we've sung in all the choirs, and we've done all that kind of thing, and it's fun, and it's rewarding. But Yeshua said, I don't need a big church building, I don't need a music program, I don't need a big old sound system and the video thing. And the 3D and all of the rest of this kind of stuff, these programs that most of these churches feel are absolutely necessary, and they're the number one thing, and you've got to have this big, beautiful, all the facilities in your parking lot's got to be fantastic. And
remember that we went to a church out in California, and they even had an outdoor coffee bar where you could get bagels and everything and sit out there. If you didn't want to go into the sanctuary, you could order your breakfast out there, sit out there.
You guys heard of Rick Warren?
Yeah,
that's his church. And I'm telling you, it's all a bunch of baloney.
You know what? I keep getting the impression of a shopping mall.
Yeah,
well, that's what they're becoming.
In our generation, we don't have an attention span because we've had too much TV. And stimulation,
exactly.
You know, and the kids younger than, I mean, my kids and kids younger are even worse,
that's
you know.
Right.
And,
that's right.
And I think that all those bells and whistles that you're talking about is the only way they can get people to sit still.
Yeah.
Or come, it has to be stimulating.
Well, they think getting
like
them in any way is going to work, you know, so come
a big
can
movie
come and buy
theater.
A bagel and eat and so
yeah,
forth.
You look at most of people, young people, they've always got something stuck in their ear.
Yeah.
But that's okay. And we're, yes.
Bill, I wanted just to say something. You know, that is, you know, what you see today, just what we're talking about. But you you basically see this type of you know, a formation of buildings. Keep in mind, a building, I keep telling people, is not a church. Mm-hmm. I keep telling, like, I was chaplain over at the Living Center for years, and I would tell them, you know, it's not the Catholic Church down on the corner, or it's not the Protestant Church on the other corner. You, if you truly are called by Christ and brought into a chosen position where you've died to yourself and you desire to walk in the ways of Yeshua, you are the church.
That's right. You're the temple.
You're the church. I'm the church.
Yeah.
It's not a building. See, there's the big downfall. People think that a church is a building. It's a Catholic church. It's a Protestant church. And what's got to be kept, what must be kept in mind is on this, denominations, as Bill said, are tools of Satan. It started in around 3rd century A.D. Basically, we are told to be one in faith. No divisions. See, no divisions. We all think alike. One in faith, not in denominations. That's why I oppose these kind of councils and meetings where all the churches are talking about the unity of church. Catholic going in with Presbyterian, Episcopal, all this oneness of religion. It is wrong because it isn't oneness of denominations. It's what Paul said was a oneness of faith, 1 Corinthians 1:10. We're to come together in one faith, one thought, no division. See, what are you going to have when you got 20 churches coming together just for the sake of unity? You've got 20 different major differences which they fight over, they've killed over in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like Catholic and Protestant, the War of the Roses still going on in Ireland and all over the world. See, this is what you get.
But I just want to that's what's going on in the Middle East right now.
Yeah, Middle
there's
East
so
too.
Many different ideas that are thrown into this. It's actually a small area over there for the amount of people, and they have
yeah.
so much different
yeah, that's
ideas.
The original Holy
and all
Bible
come together
belt,
in unity. See, that's what's
yeah,
being
over there,
just come
you.
Together in unity.
Even
yeah,
though all of Islam is wrong, they still have denominations too.
Well, sure. Look at the way they fight
there
against each other, tribes
there
and all that kind of. But the point is, the main point I want you to remain to think about in your mind is that your body is a temple of God.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, getting on with this just a little bit, we're talking here about the danger of the loss of freedom. And this thing has been going on. There's been a lot of people that are tools of Satan, that have Satan influence. And we'll just start here with Joseph Stalin from Russia.
Yes.
Back in World War II days, even before that, actually. But Stalin once said, America is like a strong, healthy body. Its resistance is threefold: patriotism, morality, and its spiritual life. Now remember, this guy was a communist. He's a Satanist. And he is admitting, and he is saying, that's a strong country there because of those things. If we, Russians, Satanists, can undermine these three things, America will fall from within into our hands. In a film documentary here, a man by the name of Curtis Bowers showed how the political left, the communists, they call them the lefts at the time, had started to implant a systematic strategy over 50, 60 years ago in America to take over our education, take over our media, take over our courts and government, and to undermine our culture, our morals, our spiritual life.
Is that 9 out of 10 they got?
Yeah. That's about it so far. Has the political left been successful? Have these guys been successful in undermining our culture, morality, and spiritual life? The evidence would indicate that it has. Almost 60% of American marriages today end in divorce. 95% of our young people, ages 15 to 30, are sexually active without any commitment. Over 25% of our people have used or do use, the recreational drugs of all sorts. Homosexuality, it's now officially sanctioned by the White House down to our local schools. The things that our young people are subjected to in schools, in public schools, are pretty bad. Those kind of things are exploding. One out of three girls in America are sexually abused. Open sex can now be viewed on television. Porno movies are now available in most U.S. hotel rooms. And church attendance in America is now declined more sharply than at any time in U.S. history. With only about 25% of the people regularly attending any kind of church. And we wonder why. Just think about this. Why? Lying, deception, manipulation, corruption are becoming a new norm on Wall Street. Well, in the halls of Congress, in the federal Congress, in the federal Senate, in whatever, and especially in corporate America. And that one big word is greed.
Oh, how true.
That's the word. We've got to guard against that in our own lives, in our own situations. All these developments have also been occurring in the UK, Europe, and in many instances, they're even more advanced than in America. There's a institute called the Beverly LaHaye Institute. They sent out a report about the tribe of young unbelievers increasing, which describes how the great majority of young Americans, are turning away from any kind of Christianity. The article cites reports that show that 70% of young people leave their home church or the church that they had attended with their parents by the age of 22, and 80% are out by the age of 30. The number of Americans who follow no religion, and we got to be careful about this religion, because that's not what it's all about, not religion. We're talking what Yeshua wants us to do is to have a relationship. He says it's not necessary for you to have to go to this church and believe in the same way that everybody else in that church believes to receive a relationship with me, he says. The American Religious Identification Survey says that 80% of young dropouts from Christianity, actually a big percentage, come from religious homes, and a bunch of those people call themselves they're known as deconverts. Well, I don't know about that. According to another survey, most current unbelievers are in fact church dropouts. And I was going to allude to that fact about the church movement. And when they talk about people that are possibly new converts, that is an erroneous thing, because most people are moving from church to church to church. And so, naturally, the receiving body says, oh, I've got a new convert.
Yeah.
Mark it down. Call up the headquarters and tell them. Well, you know. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life reports that young Americans are dropping out of religion at a disturbing rate of 5 to 6 times the historical rate in the old days. This LaHaye report connects the growing promiscuity and immorality among young people and collapsing moral standards with a mass exodus away from biblical Christianity, which holds to a biblical view that sex is intended only for marriage. This is a small minority view in America today, especially among young single Americans under 30. We were just reading a story about the fact that marriage now, the title was, Is Marriage, the Institution of Marriage, Obsolete? Yeah, it's getting to be that way. view almost any movie coming out of Hollywood today for the confirmation that fact, and have a frank discussion with any young person, a high school or college student, and this kind of thing is definitely how they believe. This writer that I'm quoting today will also indict the U.S. educational system, both high school and especially university, for undermining traditional biblical Christianity. And this is a very strong point. I believe this so strongly here. 80% of young people from strong evangelical Christian families lose their faith and never return. This is largely because, and we know this is true because our son went through this, this is largely because the political left took over our universities over the past 40 or 50 years, with the great majority of the professors being liberal, anti-God, or outright atheist. There's no question about it. And you all know about that. These professors are very persuasive in destroying the faith of the young students with their sophisticated ridicule and denigration of anything biblical or Christian.
And their ability to hold a grade over your head while you're doing it.
That's it.
Certainly. I got an F one time for writing a paper that mentioned abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And all I said was, I think that they should study it. And that was like back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she said, she gave me an F. And it just wasn't allowed. And then I found out that, you know, 2 or 3 years later, a whole bunch of studies were being done about the after effects of abortion on women psychologically. The exact same thing I had just put in this undergrad paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those F's don't go away.
No.
Like, if you get especially if you get a bad grade in a class.
Yes.
Not just on.
That's right. So they've got the clout. They've got the clout.
Yes.
And people, these young people are pretty intuitive. They understand that.
There's a lot of
my
power.
My son in Japan, he was a Buddhist now, and he was a Christian when he left home.
That's right.
You know, a lot of the Eastern schools that were all theological schools. A lot of Americans don't even realize this, such as Dartmouth and Brown and
all
Princeton,
your Ivy League
and,
schools. That's right.
You know, Harvard and Yale, and my gracious, it goes on and goes on. Cornell were all strong theological schools in the beginning, bringing out ministers, you know, of God, and these were strong ministers, many of them coming out. But now, I mean, it's like Bill just mentioned. They're so liberal now that the thought of Scripture isn't even mentioned, forbidden, in fact.
Right.
And it's just, you've got such liberal ideas coming forth, you know, and it stems from the, you know, going back to the root teachings of atheism, the evolution, that have just turned children's minds away, you know, totally from the teachings of God. And this has been a very sad situation. In fact, I spent years in police work as well as 50-some years of ministry. I know of case after case where 12- and 13-year-old girls are having babies.
Sure.
And had babies. And actually, nothing wrong. You know, I mean, it's with the families and everything else, because we breed. It's a breeding system, you know. You sow what you reap. Hey, or you reap what you sow, that is. Backwards, you reap what you sow. And that's basically what's happening. The parents, this goes back to the 60s, the fall away from Scripture, you know, in this country, for instance. Free love, free this, free that, the drug world. And as a result, they have produced children. They have produced children. So it's just a vicious cycle. Go ahead, Bill. I didn't mean
Well, there's other reasons for this accelerating decline. We've had decades of uninterrupted prosperity. Look until the last few years when the things started going down the tubes. Before that, I know I had a son that was making big money in the mortgage business. Bingo. Busted. And that's the way with a lot of people. And I'm sorry to say that my son was thinking about making as much money as he could. A greed factor, and that's Wall Street. That's anybody that's into these kinds of risky kind of things. And that's one of the problems. It's caused Americans to forget God. Because when we talk about a rich guy, hey, I don't need God. weak or absent fathers who are no longer teaching their children about God and the Bible as fathers of past generations did. That's one of my favorite peeves. And I think that we should be reaching out, if we can, to young people. Anybody in your own family? Boy, I tell you, this is such a tough thing. Non-stop busyness and entertainment distractions, which give Americans no time to even think about God and no time to read their Bibles, no time to pray. We get wrapped up in this stupid internet. I'm not saying the internet is all bad, because the internet has some good things, and computers are, I don't want to tread on my brother's toes here, because it's a good business.
They're just a tool. The same hammer
That's
can
right.
be used to build the birdhouse in fourth grade.
That's right.
And these seven-figure mansions around here, or to like break anything that you
there
hit
you
with
go.
It wrong. So it's just a tool.
There you go. But let's face it, a lot of us get wrapped up into the spending hours in the net, on the internet, and I think it's a tool of Satan in a lot of respects. We see a weak and effeminate churches led by pastors who do not understand the times or have the courage. Here's the point. They don't have the courage to take a stand against the evils of our day. A shallow brand of feel-good Christianity that has gutted the true Christian church of its biblical foundation on the rock Yeshua. This writer spends a lot of time with Christians and small Christian churches across Asia. Okay, let's think about Asia. That's one of the most developing areas in the world, isn't it? That's where you think of China, you think of India, you think of all of those places over there. Things are happening over there. Many of these people are poor and are persecuted severely for their faith. But it is quite inspiring to see their courage, their faith, their sacrifice, and excitement about Christianity, about Yeshua and his Bible, an incredible contrast to what the writer sees in this declining Christian church in America today. Karl Marx was another person back in the day. He was Stalin's hero, and he was a German Jew, and the man had some good ideas until he went to the university. But Stalin was right. American strength was our patriotism, our morality, our spiritual life, and all are in sharp decline today, aided and abetted in their fall by the political left, which wishes to... What does the political left want to do? What do these communists want to do? They want to destroy America and replace it with a socialistic police state.
Right.
Look at Obama and the social... Look at the entitlements and look at the way that our government is so out of control in its spending. We're so far in debt now that we'll never be... It'll never go back, in my estimation.
But now they're talking about devaluing the currency so they can... Make
well, certainly. Money. They'll do it that way. Right. They'll probably do something like that. Matter of fact, the Iraqis are doing the same kind of thing. That's a tool of Satan. As described earlier in this issue, America is presently in that sharp economic, financial, political, moral, cultural decline. But like a healthy body, listen, that loses its resistance, it sees its immune system crater and then suffers the invasion of disease, America's spiritual decline is weakening the great resistance we once had and opening the doors for attacks on America from all directions, from all fronts. We are in danger of losing these freedoms that we've been talking about. That freedom of religion, the freedom from sin, is one of the most important, so we want to keep in mind. Will we turn back to the faith of our fathers? Boy, I tell you guys, if you read stories about founders of our country. It was something else. They were fantastic men. They had vision. They had fortitude. They had, and they used their wealth not for their own gain. Some did, of course. Everybody, but believe me. It says, will we return back to the faith of our fathers, Abraham Lincoln? Oh, what a man he was. I don't know, but if we don't, I fear for the future of this once great nation and our freedom. The turning back process starts with each one of us. Each one of us. Where are we with God? Aha. What is our position with God? Our personal position. What part does he play in your life? Is he first, last, or maybe non-existent? Have we forgotten God as Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a great patriot in Russia? And I don't know if most of you know, he spent years and years in concentration camp. They call it the Gulag.
Right.
But what a man. He finally came over to the United States. He said the Russian people had done before they lost their freedom to the communists. Or, as Solzhenitsyn said, the American people has done after he spent 25 years in exile in the United States. Those are good questions to ponder. For us, that still have the freedom to do the right thing. Any comments? I've got a follow-up on this that I would like to do in the future sometime, but I'm in no hurry about it. But I've got a bunch of questions that you might want to write down or think about and be wondering about. And remember I said the main thing is, where do I stand? How do I stand? What is my position with Yeshua? Think about a few of these questions, because we'll be talking more about this. What can we do if we're not plugged in? And that's what it amounts to. If we feel weak and we feel like we can't accomplish anything and we are unable, we don't have the power, we don't have the strength, we have to plug in to the Holy Spirit. We have to plug in to the Master, Yeshua. We've got to put up our strongest barrier, and our strongest barrier is the Holy Spirit, to keep us from being run over and being defeated by Satan. What can we do to change our attitude? Think about that. We've already considered, are you a child of God? Who are you? Who do you serve? Who do you answer to? Do you spend much time with Yeshua? Do you have a prayer time? Do you have a regular time? Do you read your Bible? Are you doing that on a regular daily basis? It says several places, just pray without ceasing, because we've got to continue that connection. We've got to have the plug in. We've got to be plugged in. It's just like plugging into the electrical circuit. When you unplug, you run down, your battery runs down. And fellowship here in this group is, I think, is primarily, it's a primary thing. There is so much out there that the average Christian that we don't know about. and there's several books that are not even in the library because of these liberal professors and these people that they're the reviewers of the books, like this group in Texas that tells the Americans what they've got to read in their books, in their textbooks. And most of it is bogus, and it certainly is not the truth. So those are some of the things to be thinking about. And I want to talk in the future more about that. How do we stay plugged in? How do we go about this? And the way we do it is through our association with Yeshua and reading His Word. His Word guarantees. It gives us promises that nobody can take away.
Go ahead, Drew.
Satan will be attacking us constantly.
He will consume you.
He will, yes, he wants to consume you. Yes, he does. And if we give up, we will be consumed because we don't have the individual power without Yeshua, without the Holy Spirit, to fight it.
Right, with that, you know, today we see, it was foretold exactly what you're talking about, this lukewarm message in the churches today. It's a lukewarm, it's a compromising message. It is not the stern gospel of first century and second century Christianity, you know, where we forsake not the gatherings, we gather and we study God's word. And you know, of the two main, I've mentioned this in other sermons, the two main points of that we're to pray for and to live for, as Yeshua said when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago, when they asked, what should we pray for? And that is the glorification of Yahweh's name. Mm-hmm. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not Lord God. That's not Christ. It's the name of Yahweh, which Yeshua's name in Hebrew means salvation is Yah. See, salvation is Yahweh. Second part of the prayer, let your kingdom, Bill talked about, let your kingdom come. That's a literal government we're to pray for that will come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You never hear this in the churches. You never hear those messages in the churches. They, not a whole condensed sermon on the importance of his name to use, about the government of God coming soon to bring about the end of this system and a new system on this earth. You never hear those. It's 15 minutes, 20 minutes of, you know, one verse or something somebody talks about. I've sat in church after church. Tremendous amount of music, you know, announcements, traditional sayings that whatever church you're in goes through in the beginning. And that's it. Bingo, the hour is gone, you're gone. Okay? Knowledge is zilch. There is no knowledge of Scripture. And so, and why is this so? I'll tell you why. And I'm just giving a last point to your sermon, Bill, exactly what you said. It's because if I'm a paid minister making $60,000 a year, and I have a congregation of, let's say, 300 to 400, 500, 700, 800 people, and I have a family of 6 children, and I have a parish provided for me, and a car provided for me, and a retirement provided for me, am I going to intend? I'd be insane to intentionally, from a human standpoint, offend anyone in that church. Are the board members who may be gay themselves or living out of wedlock? You know, I mean, because if I do, if I give stern sermons, start giving stern sermons, I'll guarantee you, and I've seen it happen, there's nobody shows up anymore. Mm-hmm. The bills can't be paid, the mortgage can't be paid, the minister can't be paid. It's just a vicious cycle. That's what mainstream Christianity is now. Christ would not even recognize our apostles, the main teachings, what is called the main teachings of Christianity today. The message of what Yeshua taught about his Father, about the coming government of God, is seldom ever even mentioned, if mentioned only in parts. So I just wanted to add that as a point. Your sermon's wonderful, Bill.
Well,
I really enjoyed it.
It was just a warning. It's a warning type of thing that we can all see. We can see the change. We can see the degradation. We can see the loss of strength and power, and more, especially in the terms of morality and those kinds of things. And I'm sorry we didn't have enough time. I wanted to give that basic thing to you this time, but we normally would spend more time in the Bible and with a lot more scripture reading that will prove exactly what we've just been talking about, and that's what we'll do in the future.
Ironically enough, I'm just about ready, and if it's okay with you guys, I've got my sermon ready for next week.
Fantastic.
And it follows right in line with your sermon today, Bill, mm-hmm. and your sermon last week, Craig, as in the times of Noah. Mm-hmm. Basically, as we continue to get further into this subject of where we are now, mm-hmm. I've got... hard statistics and a number of examples and one specific secular example that puts in a nutshell what the effect of all of this apostasy is. And so next week we will have the fear.
Okay, praise God. Well, we'll have Mark, we'll give it next week then. And you don't know how grateful I am to have two brothers now to help me. I can sit back and sort of breathe and enjoy, hearing rather than always speaking. You get probably tired of my voice, and I get tired of hearing myself, too. So it's nice to have other people. So let's all stand. We'll ask the blessings on the study. Come on in. Join us, everyone. For you new ones, we'll vary. We may have 7 or 8 here. We may have, 30 to 40. it's like the... Well, a few meetings while back, it was like Noah's Ark. We were running to the window for air. we're just glad to have all of you, and it's just a humble little abode. I don't care if you're in work clothes. Come on, we don't care. Mm-hmm. And we're the only probably congregation that has our own lion here sitting here with us.
Our mascot.
Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we are so grateful that we have been able to come together here. And through Yeshua, do we thank you for this opportunity together today to study your word. And we're so grateful for the Wednesday study by which we pray will increase in the study of your word, even into deeper things will occur as we go into a theocratic ministry school on Wednesdays. We ask, Father, your blessings upon all of us. And I'm so grateful, are we, Father, that Bill expressed himself through the power of your spirit as he did today. Such a blessing was the sermon upon every one of us. And Father, I look forward for Mark's sermon next week that he speaks forth upon a continuation of these subjects. For we know that we're living in critical times, dark times. Mm-hmm. These are just not words, but very well proven and expressed through your written word. We see everything occurring in this world, from one end of the earth to the other. The nations are being tossed about without knowing what to do. Political leaders, religious leaders. It's truly, as Christ said, in the last days, there would be very difficult, perilous times in which we find ourselves living. And yet we're so grateful, Father, that we can bear the cross of Yeshua, the torture stake. We can bear witness to your most holy name, Father, O Yahweh, and that of your Son, Yeshua. And through the power of your Holy Spirit, have the power to stand as soldiers in the army of Yeshua against the darkness of this world, against the forces of darkness which Satan throws at us in legion form against mm-hmm. us each day. Help all the body of Christ, wherever they may be, small gatherings like us, individuals even in certain areas that are standing firm in these last days. For we know that Christ spoke in the prophecies of the last days. It wouldn't be the mass influx of millions in the final moments. But he said, narrow is the way that leadeth to life in the last days, and few would walk that pathway. So, Father, let us walk that pathway, we pray. Let us give witness to your most holy name and that of Yeshua and the coming of your wonderful government that will finally bring peace to this earth, ratify the conditions we see, the greed, the power struggles, the war, the violence, and even the diseases and pestilences that are plaguing this earth in natural conditions, Father, and directed conditions by you. May this all come to an end, Father, as the end approaches, and finally your kingdom government is brought forth upon this earth, by which even in the end death will be done away with. Oh, how we long for this. We cry out for these conditions, Father. We thank you so for your love and mercy and for all the blessings you pour out upon us each day. Continue to forgive us and mold us and help us to walk in your ways. And in the name of Yeshua, your beloved Son and our Savior, do we say this all, Father? Hallelujah, 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 Father. In his name we say this, amen.